calves of the stall. And that's actually a concluding passage to our Old Testament. And it looks forward to the rise, of course, of our Lord and Savior. Much of our culture is focused on the incarnation of Jesus at Christmas. Even people who don't know the Lord focus on that. But today of all days is really what we as Christians focus on, which is the resurrection. Because it is obviously wonderful that Jesus Christ came to this world and was all God and all man, and his incarnation was born of a virgin. But this is such an important event in human history that Jesus Christ, who is God, rose from the dead. And he is the Son of Righteousness. And it's a wonderful conclusion to the Old Testament. It points us to the New Testament and the grace that God gives us through Christ. So as we observe the Son ascend, we cannot help but think of the glorious outcome of Christ's resurrection. If it wasn't so cold, it would be a glorious morning to see that sun rising outside. I'm kind of bummed that we can't do that today, but again, it is a little too cold for that. I don't think you'd be paying much attention to me if we were sitting outside right now, especially with the breeze that was blowing in from the north this morning. But we approach this morning with a sense of expectation and anticipation. As a matter of fact, we come with more anticipation than those disciples seeking Jesus on that first resurrection Sunday. As we'll see in the text, we come this morning because we know Jesus is alive. Amen? I mean, we know he's alive. That's why we really come. We're looking back and we see this very clearly. And so those who rose early on that first resurrection Sunday, if they slept at all, came expecting really to find Jesus in the tomb. And if you're familiar with the text in the Gospels, you'll see that very clearly. They didn't really fully appreciate the resurrection until that Sunday morning when they came to examine the tomb. In our reading of Luke 24, we saw the angels remind Mary of Jesus' words. And that's going to be very important. This morning, as we celebrate the resurrection, I'd like to examine a parallel passage to Luke chapter 24, which is a great passage to see things in order. But it reminds us of the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. So if you have your Bibles, Matthew 28, I just want to read verses 1 through 6. Matthew 28, 1 through 6. It says, "And in the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulcher. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. His countenance was like the lightning, and his raiment was white as snow. And for fear of him, the keepers did shake and became as dead men. And the angel answered and said unto the women, Fear not ye, for I know that ye seek Jesus, which was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen. As he said, come see the place where the Lord lay, and go quickly and tell the disciples that he is risen from the dead, and behold, he goeth before you into Galilee. There shall you see him. Lo, I have told you. And they departed quickly from the sepulchre with fear and great joy, and did run to bring the disciples word. You know, it's so important as we look at this passage to consider the benefits of seeking Jesus early. And there's only one point message this morning. It's seek Jesus early. Seek Jesus early. And I think you get a brownie. You get a gold star by your name. Everyone today got up early and you have sought Jesus early. Well, there's a benefit to that and there's a blessing. In that first verse, the text says, in the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulcher. We see that Mary Magdalene and the other Mary returned to the sepulcher where they saw Joseph of Arimathea lay the body of Jesus 3 days earlier. They were with Jesus to that point. It says in Matthew 27 and verse 57, when the even was come, this is the evening of his death at 6 o'clock, there came a rich man of Arimathea named Joseph, who also himself was Jesus' disciple. He went to Pilate and begged the body of Jesus. Then Pilate commanded the body to be delivered. And when Joseph had taken the body, he wrapped it in clean cloth and laid it in his own new tomb, which he had hewn out of the rock. And he rolled a great stone to the door of the sepulcher and departed. And there was Mary Magdalene and the other Mary sitting over against the sepulcher. And we see later in the book of Luke, you'll see it in the next service, that they were within eyeshot of that. They actually saw him be laid into this sepulcher. The last time they saw Jesus, he was dead. He was indeed wrapped up and put in the tomb. And even though they knew he was Messiah and they worshiped him, they really, as we saw in the text, they didn't appreciate the fact that he was actually alive, that he had overcome that. Because death, well, it seems so daunting. It seems so final. But for us, it's not. Because for Jesus, it was not. Jesus did not have time to have a proper burial. There was a lot of spices put upon him from Nicodemus, so that was good. But they didn't have the opportunity to anoint his body like they would have liked because of the Passover feast that was upon them that day that Jesus died that evening. And then, of course, the next day was a high holy day. And then the following day was a Saturday. It was a Sabbath day. So those ladies had seen Jesus lay in the tomb, but it was 3 days since that had occurred, and they hadn't had opportunity to go and anoint his body and worship him the way they would like. And so as the day was, as the Sabbath ended and the evening came, it'd be a Saturday evening, they were free now to move about and to get the things that they needed. And it's noted especially that Mary, the other Mary, brought spices to anoint his body. And so all of these things had occurred, and Nicodemus had had 100 pounds of myrrh and aloes to anoint his body. But these women still wanted to do more. They wanted to do more for Jesus. They wanted to do more for Jesus. And at this point, they still didn't even have the assurance of his resurrection. And you know where that comes from? It comes from a relationship with him. They knew him in a way that was so personal, that was so profound, that not even really recognizing that he was alive from the dead, they still wanted to come and honor him and anoint him and prepare his body, falsely assuming, that he was dead. And so there is a blessing to seeking Jesus early. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 8 and verse 17, I love them that love me, and those that seek me early shall find me. Hey, there's a promise right there. If you seek God early, you know what? You're going to find him. If you're intentional about looking for Jesus, and that holds true in this passage. Mary Magdalene was the first to see Jesus resurrected, and she sought him early. Before the sun was up, she went looking. And of course, the other Mary was with her. Seeking Jesus early is an act of faith. The promise is that if you seek him early, that you're going to find him. You may remember that the account of Adam and Eve in Genesis, the scripture is careful to point out that after the fall of Adam and Eve, they heard the voice of the Lord, the word of God, walking in the garden in the cool of the day in Genesis 3:8. The cool of the day is in the morning hours before the sun rises and heats the earth. When did Jesus want to meet with them? Well, in the cool of the day, he was also looking for them because they had fallen in sin. Maybe you have wondered in early this morning, but in reality, you're in darkness, not physical darkness, but in spiritual darkness. And you know, if that's the case, God has brought you here because he's also looking for you. And I pray that you hear his voice calling in the cool of the day. And it is certainly a cool day. It may be a dark moment in your life, like Adam and Eve had in the garden after the fall, where they don't feel like they even need or should be around Jesus and have fellowship with him. And yet God is looking for fellowship with those that will seek him early. This is a great time to seek the Lord early this morning, especially if you hear the voice of the Lord calling you into fellowship with him. The first day of the week is a good day to seek Jesus. The first day of the week, of course, is Sunday. We're commanded in the New Testament in Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 25 to not forsake the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is. And then it goes on to say, especially as we see the day approaching, right? The day's coming. You can't miss it in a culture, in contemporary news, all of these things. The day of the Lord is coming, and it's important to assemble and come together on the first day of the week. This day of the week is important, and it sets a pattern for the church that we have followed from the first day until now as we celebrate every week the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And whether you look at it in the case of a 7-day week or a 7,000-year week, it doesn't matter. Jesus Christ is to be worshipped because he is the author of life. The first day of the week is also the 8th day at the end of the seventh day, right? The Sabbath is on Saturday. It's the seventh day of the week. And then, of course, Sunday is the first day of the new week. And there's a new day dawned every Sunday morning as we remember the resurrection of Jesus Christ. We don't just celebrate on Easter. We celebrate every Sunday of the year because it is the first day of the week. And it's that eighth day. It's a new beginning. There were eight people in Noah's family that were saved and established a new beginning on this earth after the judgment of the flood of Noah. And of course, after our sin was put on Jesus on the cross, after he offered himself, there's new life that's been given to us and it's offered and it's discovered on the first day of the week, on Sunday morning, at the resurrection of Jesus Christ. The number eight in scripture is typically referring to a new beginning. Jesus Christ resurrected on the third day between Saturday evening at 6 and before sunrise Sunday morning. And the eighth day is the first day of the week in the Hebrew calendar. And it would start at 6 p.m. Saturday evening. Since the beginning of scripture, God has accounted days as evenings and mornings, all the way back to Genesis. And so what about Mary who sought Jesus early? There's two Marys here, what about Mary? That's a good question. Now, this isn't Mary, the mother of Jesus. This is Mary Magdalene, who's mentioned first. Mary Magdalene was delivered. Mary Magdalene was delivered. Mary understood darkness. She had been bound in darkness until she met Jesus. She was possessed with seven devils. Devils today we would call basically as demons. So she was demon possessed. She had devils in her. The Bible says in Luke, the same book, in Luke chapter 8, the epistle of Luke, chapter 8 and verse 2, a certain woman which had been healed of evil spirits and infirmities, Mary called Magdalene, out of whom went seven devils. One of the reasons that she wanted to get up early and go find Jesus' body is because, well, he meant so much to her in just this life, not even talking about the life to come. In Mark 16 and verse 9, the Bible says, now when Jesus was risen early in the first day of the week, he appeared first to Mary Magdalene, out of whom he had cast seven devils. This was a problem person, but you notice that Jesus was the first person he revealed himself to was a person that had been healed. And we know from the Gospels, the apostles one time were wondering, and even the Pharisees, like, why would Jesus fraternize with some of these people that he fraternized with? I mean, doesn't he know what kind of people they are? But he would find that those people were extremely grateful for what had happened in their life and his relationship and friendship and his fellowship with them. And of course, he taught Peter. He's like, hey, Peter, to whom is forgiven much, those that love much have been forgiven much, right? And there was this transaction that was going on between those that he had delivered and their relationship with him. The text says that he had cast out seven devils, and when she went out, she told them that it had been with him as they mourned and wept. This is Mark chapter 16 and verses 9 through 10. And so Jesus delivered Mary from darkness, and she became a blessed example of the light of the Lord Jesus Christ, a disciple of Jesus. And she was a faithful disciple, but she wasn't just a disciple. I'm sorry, she wasn't just delivered. I got the wrong point. She wasn't just delivered from darkness. She became a faithful disciple. In Luke chapter 8, it records that Mary Magdalene was one of the ladies who supported the ministry of Jesus from her substance as he went from village to village preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God. So she was a supporter of Jesus. She was a disciple. She was delivered. She was a disciple. And she was clearly devoted as well. Mary followed Jesus all the way to the cross. She was there next to the cross to witness his death in person. The Bible says in John chapter 19 and verse 25, now there stood by the cross of Jesus his mother, of course that is Mary, the mother of Jesus, and his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Cleophas, and Mary Magdalene. A lot of Marys back in those days. The text says in John 19:25. She was right there near the cross at that time when Jesus Christ died. So Mary waited by his sepulcher as Jesus was placed in the tomb by Nicodemus and Joseph, as I mentioned earlier. That text is also recorded for us in this text in the previous chapter in Matthew 27 and verse 59. And we read that earlier, that Mary Magdalene and the other Mary sitting over against the sepulcher. It's also recorded in John that they saw his body be put in state there in the tabernacle. So Mary was very devoted. She went all the way to the cross, something that the disciples themselves didn't do. other than John. So 10 of the disciples didn't make it that far. And, of course, one was the devil. So only John made it to the cross. And so John was there with the Marys. And so Mary was first to Jesus' sepulcher that Sunday morning. The first day of the week cometh Mary Magdalene early when it was yet dark unto the sepulcher, and seeth the stone taken away from the sepulcher. John chapter 20 and verse 1 declares that clearly, that she was first there. She was the first one to say, wow, what in the world is going on? The stone is taken away. And of course, her first thought is, who took Jesus? Where did he go? Mary was the first to see Jesus after his resurrection. She interacted with him before he ascended to the Father. She got to the tomb and didn't know what was going on. And then shortly thereafter, she had an interaction with him. I'll talk more about that in the next service. But at that time, Jesus said, hey, you can't touch me. I've not yet ascended to my Father. And she was the first to see him, even interacting with him before he had gone to the third heaven and done that priestly work before the throne of the high priest, atoning for the sin of the world. Though he had done it on the cross and it was finished, he was doing the work of entering into the Holy of Holies, the third heaven, to finish the process as the high priest. And so Mary stood without at the sepulcher, weeping, the Bible says, in the book of John chapter 20. If you're following along in the Bible, you might be turning to John chapter 20. Look at verse 11. John chapter 20 and verse 11. It says, but Mary stood without the sepulcher weeping as she had wept. I mean, she's tearful about what she's finding with Jesus. She stooped down and looked into the sepulcher. This is after she finds the stone rolled away. And she seeth two angels in white sitting, the one at the head and the other at the feet where the body of Jesus had lain. Of course, he's not there now. Verse 13. And they say unto her, woman, why weepest thou? And she saith unto them, because they have taken away my Lord, and I know not where they have laid him. Isn't that something? She didn't actually understand where he went. And when she had thus said, she turned herself back and saw Jesus standing, and knew not that it was Jesus. And Jesus saith unto her, woman, why weepest thou? Whom seekest thou? And she, supposing him to be the gardener, saith unto him, sir, if thou hast borne him hence, tell me where thou hast laid him, and I will take him away. And she was willing to find his dead body, smelly after 3 days, and she was going to take him away and apply some more spices and some more odors upon him, some more anointing. And Jesus saith unto her, Mary. He just calls her by name, and she turned herself unto herself and saith unto him, Rabboni, which is to say, Master. And Jesus saith unto her, touch me not, for I am not ascended to my Father, but go to my brethren and say unto them, I ascend unto my Father and your Father, and my God and your God. And Mary Magdalene came and told the disciples that she had seen the Lord, and that she had spoken these things, that he had spoken these things unto her. John chapter 20, verses 11 through 18. We'll find later that it didn't take long for Jesus to get to the third heaven and come back. And he met her and encouraged her before she even got to speak to all the disciples. But Mary was delivered from darkness. She became a disciple that was supporting the work of Jesus. And then upon even his death, not really realizing the magnitude of his sacrifice and the power of his resurrection, she was devoted to being with Jesus because of the relationship that she had with him. And I pray this morning that all of us can really appreciate the Lord Jesus Christ in that way. Certainly, we want to be out of the grave. We want to be home in heaven. But you know what? The power of the resurrection, it affects us today, not just in eternity, not just getting out of hell, which is amazing, but even today. And so I think all of us can benefit from Mary's example of obedience and submission to the Lord Jesus this Easter morning. But what about that other Mary? Right? What about Mary? I don't know. I don't know that one very well, but there's a little bit written about her. The other Mary was fruitful. She was one of six Marys mentioned in the Gospels, so they can get a little bit hard to track down. She is the Mary, the mother of James and Joseph and Salome, the Bible says in Mark 15:40. There was also a woman looking afar off, among whom was Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James the Less and Joseph and Salome. It's interesting to note in Mark 15:40 that they started following afar off, but before it was over, I don't know about this Mary, but Mary Magdalene was right there at the cross with Mary, the mother of Jesus, and they were right there in the mix, very close to all that was going on. The Bible says in Matthew 27, in the previous chapter, to our text this morning in verse 55, not far from where we started. And many women were there beholding afar off, which followed Jesus from Galilee, ministering unto him, among which was Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James and Joseph, the mother of Zebedee's children. And so we see that this Mary, the mother of James and Joseph, was, which is Joseph, was also ministering to Jesus of her substance. She was like Mary Magdalene. These were helping the ministry of Jesus. These ladies were helping fund that ministry. The other Mary followed faithfully. Though she followed afar off with Mary Magdalene, she was faithful. We know Mary Magdalene found her way to the foot of the cross, but we're not told how the other Mary, how close she got to the cross. But we do know this. She had prepared sweet spices to anoint Jesus. Again, this was an act of faith, because when they went to anoint Jesus, they weren't expecting him to be out of the grave. And I think about this as I read the text. I thought, how in the world did they think they were going to take a sealed tomb and open it up with two Roman soldiers, centurions there, and go in and anoint the body of Jesus? I don't know if they thought they were going to sweet talk the guys. I don't know what they thought, but it really is an act of faith to even take anything up there to anoint his body. She was certainly a faithful woman. She prepared those spices to anoint Jesus. And the Bible says in Mark 16:1 that she brought sweet spices that they might come and anoint him. So she was someone who walked by faith, not by sight. Because if I was putting a bet on this, which I don't bet, I would bet against her having access. If Jesus was in the tomb, she would have never been able to get in there anyway, because the Jews were guarding it. I'm not the Jews, but the Romans were guarding it so that nobody would steal the body of Jesus. Yet the tomb was open and the body of Jesus was gone, because God is greater than the tomb. And so as we continue to think about this, I want to encourage us all this morning to seek the Lord by faith. That's why you got up early. That's why you're here. You're faithful people, and you are seeking the Lord by faith. The Marys wanted to honor Jesus, whom they presumed was still dead. They understood as they traveled to the tomb that access would be obstructed by the sealed stone over the tomb at the very least. And if they were privy to the fact that Pilate had, I'm sure they were privy to the fact that Pilate had ordered the Roman guards to keep watch. And they certainly would have a difficult time accessing the dead body of Jesus under those circumstances. Nevertheless, they moved out by faith, determined to anoint Jesus' body, to see his corpse one last time. And boy, did they have their expectations blown out of the water. They would have been willing to manage the stench of death and the disease that would be associated with a decomposing corpse so they could just spend a few moments with him and anoint his body. Imagine their surprise as they came to the tomb. Nobody, no soldiers, the open tomb. Of course, we saw that Mary looks in and sees two angels sitting there. What did they do with Jesus is her initial thought. The concept that he had resurrected. In previous Sundays and Easter Sundays, I've preached about how he came right through those clothes. They laid there right in their state. He transcended through those, and he came right up on out of the tomb. The tomb could not hold him, as we just sang. They totally, even though Jesus had spoken and he had taught very clearly on the resurrection, they missed it. They didn't hear it. They didn't quite understand it. To the unbeliever, the scripture has much to say about seeking the Lord early. Those who scoff at the word of God, who find the death, the burial, and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ comical, they need to take heed to the counsel of Proverbs chapter 1 and verse 22. There are a lot of naysayers today. There were a lot of naysayers at the first Easter morning, the first Sunday morning, the first resurrection Sunday, as I like to call it. Proverbs chapter 1 and verse 22 says, "How long, ye simple ones, will you love simplicity, and you scorners delight in scorning, and fools hate knowledge? Turn you at my reproof. Behold, I will pour out my spirit unto you. I will make known my words unto you, because I have called and ye refused. I have stretched out my hand and no man regarded, but ye have set it not all my counsel and would have none of my reproof. I also will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your fear cometh, when your fear cometh as desolation, and your destruction cometh as a whirlwind, when distress and anguish cometh upon you. Then shall they call upon me, but I will not answer. They shall seek me early, but they shall not find me." Well, wait a minute, Brian. I thought you said that those that seek Jesus early will find him. That's what the Bible says. There's a blessing there. That's exactly what it says. But that's for a limited time only, right? The Bible tells us today is the day of salvation. There's an urgency to getting the gospel where it needs to go on time. The Bible says today is the day of salvation. And there is a, there, it is important that we don't just think that, you know, God just, he died on the cross, his atonement, take care of sin, and we just do what we want to do. That's not the case. It's a gift. It's a gift of eternal life that we must receive, though it is totally able to cover all the sin of all the world. He died for the sin of the world. There are some that are going to appear before him with his blood on their hands because they never acknowledged the fact that he gave his life for them. And instead of being forgiven and covered in the blood and atoned, they will be counted as murderers, murderers of the Son of God. Now, this is a time to seek the Lord Jesus. Today is the day to seek the Lord Jesus. There are some that, today maybe you will run into as you go visit with family or you move about wherever God has for you today, as it's a resurrection Sunday. And they've not sought the Lord early. They've not found the Lord. It's incumbent upon us to make sure we take the gospel where it needs to go on time. Now is the time to seek the Lord Jesus Christ. I can't emphasize that enough. The day is about to dawn. The Lord Jesus Christ is going to return, and he's going to rule in righteousness on this planet. And today is the day of salvation. Isaiah 55:6 says this, "Seek the Lord while he may be found." Seek the Lord. Seek his grace while there is a window of grace. Seek his grace while there is a time to call upon his name. The Bible says in Isaiah 55:6, "Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon." There's no limit to the goodness and the grace of Almighty God. Mary was a witness to that. All the disciples were a witness to that. I'm a witness to that. I accepted Christ March 25th, 1987. It's absolutely changed my life. I implore anybody under the sound of my voice, and you're probably all in the Amen choir, but just in case you're not, man, call upon the name of the Lord. Call upon him while he is near. Call upon him early. To the believer, it is prudent to seek the Lord first, not as our last resort. Now, this is practical. If it's not practical, it's not good preaching, right? One of the things that we do, those of us that believe on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, those of us that know him as Lord and Savior, we have a tendency to forget that he is our first option and he our only option. And we allow, especially in this culture in which we live, other things to come ahead of Jesus. We don't seek him early like we should. We don't prioritize him. And then we wonder why it's so hard to recognize and see what God is doing in our life. You know, Mary got up early and she got herself to the tomb. And even though she didn't fully understand what was going on, God revealed himself to her. Why? Because he was her priority. Man, in a world today in which there's so many messages going on, so much confusion, it's so important to prioritize the Lord Jesus Christ. We have looked at Proverbs 8:17 that says, "I love them that love me, and those that seek me early shall find me." Now consider what Hebrews says about the blessing of seeking the Lord by faith. In that great chapter, that hall of fame of faith in Hebrews 11, the Bible says this, "But without faith, it's impossible to please him, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him." You know, perhaps Isaiah 26:8-9 was the meditation of Mary's heart. That passage says, "Yea, in the way of judgments, O Lord, have we waited for thee. The desire of our soul is to thy name and to the remembrance of thee. With my soul have I desired thee in the night. Yea, with my spirit within me will I seek thee early. For when the judgments are in the earth, and the inhabitants of the world will learn righteousness." In conclusion this morning, you know, first, there is a blessing to seeking Jesus early. If you seek Jesus early, the scripture promises that you'll find him. And I pray that you know Jesus this morning, that you have found him because he has found you. If you don't, today is the day of salvation. If you don't know the Lord, today is the day of salvation. Secondly, I want to commend you for seeking Jesus on the first day of the week. Since Jesus' resurrection, Jesus has been gathering saints together in fellowship of the Spirit of God and the Word of God. And God's blessing is found in obeying God's will and not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the scripture commands. Maybe you've sought Jesus this morning out of a religious duty, but you have found that God is calling you into a personal relationship. There are people in our nation. There are people today all over the world as the sun's rotating, or as the earth is rotating around the sun. We get that backward, not flat earther. So as the earth is going around the sun, there are those that are going to worship Jesus, but it's going to be out of a religious duty. It's not really going to be out of that relationship. You know what really makes that passage that we just read stick out in the book of Matthew and all the parallel passages in Luke and John, as I read it, is that relationship that Mary had with Jesus. That's really where it's at. It wasn't a duty that they had to go up there and do this out of some religious obligation. Why did they get up early? Why did Mary see him before anyone else? Why did the other Mary bring those spices, not even knowing if she could get in the tomb? Well, it's because they loved Jesus. I pray this morning, you hear me often say, love God and love people. And I hope that doesn't become a worn out phrase, because that is one of the most profound things that we can do if we want to see change in a dark and dying world. The Bible says, if you love me, keep my commandments. It doesn't say keep my commandments and I know you love me. It says, if you love me, keep my commandments. There is a relationship that we have with Jesus where we do what's right because we have a want to. Because we understood that there's no greater friend than Jesus. Jesus gave his life for his friends. He calls us friends, more than friends. The Bible tells us in 1 John, behold what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Man, what an incredible thing to have a personal relationship with Jesus. I pray if nothing else this morning, you leave this morning encouraged in your relationship with God and relationship with one another, if indeed you are a born-again Christian. And third, God knows you, and he has a plan for your faith individually. He has delivered, and he has discipled, and he has blessed you like he blessed Mary Magdalene and the other Mary because of the devotion that we have in the worship of Jesus Christ. Perhaps he's calling you like Mary Magdalene into a deeper devotion this morning. It's not about salvation. Perhaps it's about sanctification. Maybe it's about allowing God to set your life apart in a unique way where you seek Jesus first and you put everything else behind you. You know, in the book of Colossians, that is the most important thing we could do at this time in church history. The Bible tells us in Revelation chapter 3 and verse 17, 18, around that area, that there's a whole lot of people right now that are blind. They're Christians, but they're blind. Jesus is knocking and they don't even hear his voice. Much like at the resurrection Sunday, right? Everybody was wondering what happened to Jesus because they didn't know the scripture. Beloved, I pray that we put the scripture first, not just on Sunday mornings, not just in information, but in our hearts. And as we do that, we certainly will grow and increase devotion and sanctification and therefore magnification of the glory of God and the ministry of Jesus Christ in time. And that will certainly be beneficial in eternity. And so perhaps God is calling you, like Mary, into this deeper devotion this morning. Perhaps like the other Mary, you're fruitful and faithfully following the Lord Jesus Christ. And you're here this morning to bring a sweet-smelling sacrifice that is pleasing to the Lord. Praise the Lord for that. Last, I would say this. Perhaps the Lord has brought you here this morning to reveal the reality of the resurrection and your need to place your faith in the finished work of Jesus Christ on the cross. He's not here, for he is risen. That's what the text says. Come see the place where the Lord lay. You know, those words were coming, and Jesus was actually right there talking to Mary. He's not here, but he is here, right? What is the text saying? He's no longer in human form in a grave. He's not bound by that at all. He is alive. He is alive from the dead, and he has sent forth his spirit. He told those apostles in Acts chapter 1, hey, stay here until the spirit descends. In Acts chapter 2, the spirit of God came upon the church, and he's been moving about ever since, and he is teaching us all things whatsoever he has said to us. He is speaking to us today through his spirit, through his word, and through his church. And I pray this morning that God is calling all men everywhere to repent. If you're here this morning, if you're a man or a woman, a child, and you don't have a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, and I pray today would be the day of salvation. Because this morning the tomb is empty and Jesus is alive, just as he said. So with every head bowed and every eye closed, as we can conclude this morning, I just want to ask, are you born again? I know you all rose up early. I know you're in the Amen choir, but just in case, because I'd be remiss not to do this morning. Maybe you came in as a religious obligation. Maybe you don't really have that relationship that we're talking about, that relationship where you know Jesus at a personal level.